Joshua, the second chapter, we'll read together verses 1 through 6 in the King James. Joshua 2, verses 1 through 6 in the King James. I've got some of the windows open, I guess. You'll bear with us. We do have plans now to enlarge the sanctuary and to install an air conditioner, so we're getting there. But you're better off than the Christians were in the catacombs of Rome, so just think about that. Praise the Lord. There's always somebody worse off than us, and we're not worse off at all. We're in good shape this morning compared with most of the Christians in the world. All right, Joshua 2, verses 1 through 6 in the King James. And here we go. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the women took the two men, and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Up to the roof of the house, that's right, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which ye had laid in order upon the roof. Now, I believe this is a picture of the day in which we are living. And I believe that the two men here are another Bible type, which we've been studying, of the two witnesses. We're speaking of the time when the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the kingdom was preached in the first century, and from that time, God was doing the work that he had in mind to do. In fact, we find over later reading in Joshua, in the third chapter, verse 4, There shall be a space between you and the ark, see, between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Joshua 3:4. Well, those 2,000 cubits, those 2,000 years are about up. Praise the Lord. And the ark went ahead of us, Jesus. And during those 2,000 years, God has worked a tremendous work of assembling materials and getting people saved. But God is going somewhere. He's not staggering around. He has a plan. And we're coming back now to what God's purpose is to set up the kingdom of God in the earth. And, you know, people say, well, it's a new message. It's not a new message. It's the original message. It's the other stuff that's the new message. We're going back to the original message of the gospel, which is the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's John preached it. Jesus preached it. That's the message today. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And this is a type of it. Now, Israel had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and so the church has wandered in the wilderness of this world for so many hundreds of years. But now Israel stands on the edge of that which God has ordained for his people. We are on the brink of it. And before Israel went in, there were these two spies. And we find out that in Revelation that just before the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of the Lord and of His Christ, there are going to be sent out two witnesses. Two, representing the two loaves of Pentecost, the double portion of God's Spirit. So that's where we are now. We are up to the edge of God's plan. We are in this time when God is going to do a work which will not be revealed as it will be when the Lord comes, in which He's going to send out and do a work that is not known or understood. It will be kind of a work that's done just as God wants it done. You know, there's a lot of things going on today that we do not understand. Do you know that? We had a fellow visiting us from Canada, and he told us, now can you believe this? I take his word for it. He's a Christian. I believe he's telling us the truth. But first of all, he told us of the miracles that are taking place in Canada. Did you know that? I didn't know it. But he says a great revival is going on. He's telling the church where he goes, there were two families in it. Now there are 300, mostly young people. Miracles are being done. He said all kinds of miracles are being done just throughout Canada. This is a tremendous revival in Canada. And he says particularly since Quebec gave a no vote on secession. It says it just seems to have. Are you from Canada there? Oh. Oh, well, it's happening. And we had a fellow in our house last night. He said, and this was a fellow I taught for 2 years in the Rawhide Ranch, supposed to be a respectable Baptist type, you know. And here I am preaching on all the stuff of God. And he says, now we're seeing it. And they're experiencing it in Canada. And he said in the church, and while he was there, he said the pastor's daughter came up to be prayed for her eyes, and the pastor prayed for her, and right there in front of the congregation, she was healed, and the pastor was healed, and both of them got perfect eyesight. He said, this is just the way it's going in Canada. And quite a revival. And we're in correspondence with a man in Nova Scotia who's telling about the Word of God. He said, we need to know about this Christ in you. He says, God is moving in Nova Scotia. And this fellow that's talking to us says, the young people in our church, do you know where that is? Where Jim goes to church there, wherever it's, Toronto or wherever. He said that they want the deeper things. The young people want to know what is going on in the spiritual realm. So anyway, he said President Carter appeared up there on the Rex Humbart show. And this is what he said to the Canadians. I wish he'd say it to the United States. But this is what he said to the Canadians. Can you believe this? I found this hard to believe. He says, absolutely, this is what he said. He said, the American people are not experiencing revival because they won't turn to God. The president. Where was he when the million people were in Washington in April? Where was he? What is going on? A million people go to the press, hardly covers it. Hush, hush. Don't let anybody know. Why, if there was 500 of some other types went, it'd be on the 6 o'clock news, 6:30 news, 7:30 news, 11 o'clock news, and 5 o'clock in the morning. But a million Christians go, and nobody ever heard of it. Then the president goes to Canada and tells the Canadians the reason that there's no revival in America like there is in Canada is because the people won't turn to God. Figure that out. Well, I don't fret myself. I figure that what God is doing, He knows all about it, and I see in the Bible that God is going right along on a straight path, and God's will is going to be done. All right, they sent out two men to spy secretly. Now, while we're in the wilderness, you can do what you want to when it's open, you can say what you want to, but we are going to a place when God is going to have people who can keep His secrets. It's not going to be published all over the place. It's not going to be, oh, come, look and see what God is doing. But it's going to be, the Lord Jesus was like that. He told people, don't tell them when you're healed. And they did, and it brought persecution on them. See? We got to learn to keep this shut. I was talking to a man from Indonesia at the school, and I I know that God has been doing tremendous things in Indonesia. People have been walking on the water, and where they walk is sunny, and all around them is rain, and all this kind of thing. This has been going on in Indonesia since 1968. So I said to this fella, I said, "Oh, do you know Mel Tari? We're a great admirer of Mel Tari." "Well, yes." And he says, "He's a different part, but yes, I know the group." And I said, "Have you seen the miracles?" He goes like this. He said, "We do not talk about these things, lest we sin with our lips." And I could feel the seriousness of what the man was saying. It was not a flaky remark. It was as solid as a rock. In other words, it's a holy hush of God. God is moving. And it isn't all the ballyhoo and the come look and listen and isn't this wonderful and bring the community in that we're used to. God's, of course, the children will always babble, but God's people that are growing up learn to speak when God speaks. No more gossip, no more blabbing all over the place. They went secretly. There's a time as we're getting in. Now, why were they commanded to spy secretly? Why can you blab in the wilderness, but when you get close to the land, you have to? Why? Because in the wilderness, you're not fighting the enemy. And we are getting close to the enemy. We are getting close to God's intention in this earth. We had a fellow that knew a man that was building a Christian school. And a public school came up for sale. And he went and he was bargaining with it. He just about had this thing bought at a steal. Too much in the mouth. The man says, the public school man says, "How many kids do you expect?" And you're this guileless Christian, not realizing you're dealing with the enemy. We expect, half of the town. They didn't get the school. To put the principal on notice, he went back and said, "Don't sell it to him." We're in a day now when the foolishness and the frivolity is coming to a halt. Where a man from Pakistan said that when they're out on the street corner, they can preach, but not loudly, because if they preach loudly, they get beat up. How'd you like to preach in a place where if you lifted up your voice or got excited, you got beat up? But that's the way Paul preached. He went and preached loudly anyway, and got himself stoned. Threw the whole city into an uproar and got himself stoned. Well, hallelujah. We're getting there, saints. We're going to be coming into real times. Now, what is the land of promise? They were on the edge of the land of promise. He said, "Go view the land, even Jericho." Now God wants to commission us to go into the things of God where God's people have not been. It isn't a place where we've been before, but it's things that we need to learn of, things that we need to find out about, so there'll be some new things. He said, "Go in and spy out the land, find out that which we're going to be dealing with." Now, what land are we moving toward? Yeah, the land of promise. What is the land of promise? What is the kingdom? What does that have to do with what we have Christ in us now? We have Christ in us now. Where are we going? What is it that we will be spying out in this land? Where is the growing edge of what God is doing? What are we after? What are we moving toward? The inheritance. What is that? All right, now the students from the School of Ministry will know, because I explained it to them. I'm not sure, but I think I gave the definition of this church some months ago. The land of promise toward which we are moving is spiritual dominion over the material realm, over the world. The Christian people will rule this world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are moving. Now, what they were up to, they had left Egypt, which is a type of the world in one sense, and now they were going toward another type in the Bible
where the land that God had given to them, but which was ruled by Satan. Spiritual dominion. Now this involves a whole new orientation of our thinking. We're not used to thinking of this. We're used to thinking that the purpose that we get saved is so that when we die, we will pass into the spiritual realm. In other words, the best thing we possibly can do in this world is that when we die, we go to heaven. Of course, we hope that won't be till we're 95, and we grieve much when people die because we're not sure what it's about. We know what we have now, but we're not sure where we're going. Traditionally, we have been taught and we have believed that the main thing, the best thing that a Christian can do is to go to heaven when he dies and to point other people to heaven toward God so that when they die, they can go to heaven. But that is not what the Bible is about. And that is not what the kingdom of God is about. What we are moving toward is dominion over this world. Now, we won't notice the enemy so much, and we haven't noticed the enemy to the extent when you are dealing with things that just have to do with passing into the spiritual realm, going to heaven and those things. We've had some battles because it's an irritation to Satan to have the Christians around singing hymns. And of course, he will always fight the gospel when it's brought into a new place. Whenever you begin to affect people and this earth, you run into resistance. Now, we are up, viewing the church historically, the body of Christ, we are on the edge of the coming of the Lord. We are on the edge when Jesus is going to come, and he is going to rule this world. Which means that Satan, who believes it's his territory, and all the demons that have ruled this world and are ruling the world now, we're going to see, as we go forward, increasing movements and shakings and troubles and battlings and things. But what we are going towards certainly is to inherit this earth. Praise the Lord. It's not a case anymore of, well, I get saved, and then if I live a pretty good life and go to church, then when I'll die, I'll go to heaven. You'll miss it. That's not the goal. The goal is to see what God has given us now. Praise the Lord. Now, we will see more and more as we read the newspaper and listen to the television today, it seems like things are getting worse and worse. We in America we have a few leaders nationally who are speaking out, and at this thing in April, I read the condensation of things which they condensed it in the Christ for the Nations and said, Bill Bright said this, and this Presbyterian minister said this, and this bishop said this, and this one. And guess what they are saying, these million people? I did not read any difference. In fact, it was so depressing, so much like what we preach here. Audrey finally said to me, "Boy, I'm losing hope." But preacher after preacher came up with statistics, and it sounded like the end of everything. Now I thought, well, if this is true, and this is what the Spirit has been telling us, that we in America are on the edge of judgment, what are we doing? You know, we're doing two things. The average American, Christian or non-Christian, is hiding. We're not thinking. We are doing what sociologists call particularizing. We particularize with a baseball game. We particularize with a new job, with an education. I'll do this. In other words, it's kind of a flight from reality. It has never happened. I don't think it will happen. Don't tell me about it because it's pessimistic. Let's think of the good things of the Bible and what might be if we'd all repent. Yeah, that's it. If we'd all pray and all repent. And somehow it will go away. And somehow these things aren't true. But I'm not going to give you statistics this morning because that's not my style of ministry. But it's enough. If I were not a Christian, I don't know what I would do, because to any logical, reasonable person, that listens to the statistics on armaments and economics and these other things, the picture is incredible. It reminds you of the day when the Athenians were having a play and the Spartans had surrounded the city. And the messenger came to the Athenians. This happened in Greek history. Said, the Spartans have surrounded the city. And they said, well, wait till the play is over. That happened in history. That's a historical fact. And that's what we're saying. Well, wait till I get my retirement. And then I'll consider whether this is going to happen. Maybe we'll have enough to buy a house in Colorado or Arkansas, and hopefully we can stockpile stuff and have a bomb shelter, and after 3 months it'll be over. It won't be over after 3 months. See? Saints, I'm not trying to scare you this morning. That would be foolishness. The economists will do that. Just read what they're saying. To any intelligent person, they'll write it. The handwriting is on the wall. That's not my message. What God has been showing us in preparation for this very day, which is on us in April in 1980, is, first of all, that God knows what he's doing. He is not getting caught by surprise. It's not that the nation is fumbling around, oops, we're going to lose it, and God wasn't looking. God knew. God knows what he's doing. He's working something else at the same time. And we are living in the greatest day of revival in all of history. And the only thing that we have to be careful to do is don't let the devil take this time and con you into thinking it's going to be okay. It isn't going to be okay. Let the forces that are around you drive you to God, like our brother and sister on the platform. That is the correct response today. You don't hide yourself from the fact that we are hopelessly outnumbered in armament by Russia. You do not hide. You recognize, you're praying, you say, yes, it's all right. They could almost command us to stop now, and they've extort us under threat of extinction because of the numerical superiority, which may or may not be true. I'm not a general. This is what a general said in Washington at that time. And as a reasonably intelligent person, I can grasp that, and I accept that. I don't turn around and say, well, what was the score? I'm not going to hide from reality. I see the Spartans are at the door. But what does God say to me? If you will serve me, if you will in this day give yourself to me, I will take care of you and your family. That is the correct response. Not fear. Oh, let's see if we can go hide in South America or Canada. Let me tell you something about that hiding thing. You cannot hide. You cannot hide. And through the Bible, we have the Jews were saying they were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, "Let us flee down into Egypt." And Jeremiah went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Tell them not to flee to Egypt, because the sword will overtake them. Stay where you are." They would not hear it. They went and they took Jeremiah with them, protesting all the way. And when Jeremiah got down there, the first thing he did, he got a big stone and he put it in a place and he said, "This is where Nebuchadnezzar's throne is going to be." But you cannot run. And you cannot buy a sack of dehydrated rice and figure out where you're going to be, because just the place you go is the place where two drunken homosexuals are going to come and rape your wife and kill your children. Hope that isn't too harsh for you. That's what's going on today. You've got to wake up. Things are tough around the world. And with Christians, too. That's right. We're not exempt. We're not exempt. That's a thing we've got to get through our heads. We are not exempt. We are just ordinary people like the rest of the world, and what is happening in Uganda and all over the world behind the Iron Country is fast closing in on us. And we've got to be people of intelligence and be awake and gear ourselves mentally and emotionally to stand as the Ugandans have had to stand and as the Russian Baptists have had to stand and others. They've had to stand. They didn't have the option of playing gay. They had to stand. They had no choice. We, the informed, people, saved and unsaved, are singing one song. And they sang one song at Washington, Pentecost. You know what? I enjoyed this. The president, now get this, the president of the Southern Baptist Church, the president of the Southern Baptist Church said the problem is the sinning saints. I didn't know they believed in sin. I thought from what they preached that once you got saved, God didn't care. Well, I don't know whether they're singing two messages or whether they got a sharp president or what's going on. But that's what the man said in April in Washington in front of a million people. The problem with our nation is the sinning saints. And Hosea Manus or whatever it is, the little fellow that just got out of jail, been in jail most of his life, out of the ghetto, that organized this thing, that organized this rally, said the problem is not with the government, it's with you, and he pointed to the group. So all the good Christians there were telling themselves it was their fault. Well, what do? Cover, hover, and say, I'm going to take, you know, and I'm going to lay out this money, and I'm going into the Northwest Territories in Canada, or I'm going, you know, there's no place do you go. So what do you say? I go to the rock. I go to Jesus. We're going to have to learn to live in the Word. Now, our brother from Pakistan was telling us, you know, if you go there and you preach loud, you're liable to get killed. His brother's friend was killed. His uncle was killed. Well, you say, well, I never go to Pakistan. Let me tell you something. If God tells you or tells me to go to Pakistan, you're just as safe as you are in your bed at home. It doesn't matter. You say, oh, I wouldn't go. You disobeyed God. You walk out, get in your car, and drive out your driveway, and some drunk kills you. You might better have been in Pakistan doing the Lord's will. Because safety is not in numbers. Food for your stomach is not in the American economy. Weather all shrivels up and dry. Who knows that Mount St. Helens may cover the whole country with volcanic ash. You know, it'd be a great day for the people that rebore car cylinders. I can see that coming up. Praise the Lord. It's got to be a blessing and everything. Listen, our food, our safety, our security, our sanity. You could be right in a 7-bedroom home, have a guaranteed income, wife, children, everything, every fringe benefit, and lose your marbles in the day in which you live up here. The best you can manage is if they take you to a psychiatrist and get you to a comfortable place where you won't hurt yourself or somebody else. And don't think it doesn't happen. It happens. So there is no security in a new house. There's no security in money. There's no security. Listen, if God wants you in Poway or Escondido or Uganda or Pakistan, where God wants you and His hand is upon you, there is where you are saved. Listen, Jesus is our security. All we've got to do is be careful that we're going and doing what He said. Not on our notions. And our children are in His hand. If He takes them, they're saved. We do the best we can to help them. If they're saved and He takes them, they're saved. Praise the Lord. God's Word says that He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High does not say He that dwells in Canada. Just the place you go, they'll have a revolution. God will prove to you. They did catch them down in Egypt. See, there was no safety in Egypt. If they'd have stayed where they were in Jerusalem, they would have been safe. So there's no hiding in the day in which we're living. Praise the Lord. But the best part of it is that it is not a case of the world catching God off guard. The reason things are in such an uproar is because God has got the church to the point where it's going to be entering in to take dominion. In other words, underlying the seeming random movement of people, there is a clear line of movement going on. And we are here. And God is sending out these witnesses today. And he's sending them out to spy secretly. Go, find out about that land where we're going to. What are we going to? The things of Revelation, the things that have been in God's Word all these centuries, but we have not understood. We're going to reign with Christ. What it means to be an overcomer. What the judgment seat of Christ will be like. How you reconcile the impact of the gospel on the fact that the Bible teaches clearly that the believers will reap what they sow. All this is being made clear now because the coming of the Lord is at hand. We are going to reap what we sow. We have not understood the gospel message. How it impacts on the judgment of the believer. We are going to reap what we sow. What the gospel does for us is it gives us the ability to please God. It gives us power over the material realm. So that right here in this world we can walk and please God. It's not off in heaven. It's what we are doing now. It's dominion now. Praise the Lord. We're a moving target. Two spies out to spy out the land. Go, and they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now we've mentioned before how that in the end time there is going to be a great persecution against God's people. But there will be some nations that will help them, and there will be some nations that persecute them. And when the Lord comes, He is going to judge the nations of the earth on the basis of how they treated God's witnesses in the end time. You read it in Matthew. He did not say to the nations on His right hand, you did not say the four steps of salvation, so therefore you are going into outer darkness. He did not say that. It was how you treated my brethren when they were in prison. Who? His brother. Did you give them a cup of cold water? Some nations have helped the brothers of Jesus Christ. They will go into light. Other nations have persecuted them and killed them. They will go into outer darkness. But some nations will help us in the end time. And Rahab is a type of them. Now notice that you have the comparison here. You have the kingdom of God on the banks of the Jordan, and then you have Jericho representing the world, and in Jericho you have those who are going to be saved when the saints come into their inheritance. See that? This is the kingdom that's passing on the thing, getting ready to go in and drive out the demon God, the kingdom of God. And there are people in the world that God's going to save in this end time. He's silly out of a hat. Jesus! If we could ever understand that thing, our purpose in this earth is to... Now the nations are set up. We heard about Chile and the hunger that they have for the Word of God. And the man was in this church looking for someone. Could I get one family to go down and teach the people in southern Chile who had been saved over television, because the Protestants are in control in Chile and they were welcome. What is the church doing? Now I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking generally about God's people and their desire to flee when our inheritance is here. Uganda is ready. Now, the brother was preaching up in Canada, he told me, another fellow from Uganda that had seen his parents slain under Idi Amin. And he said, but good is coming out of it. Good is coming out of it. People are being saved. Uganda now has asked for Cirilo to come in. Before that, they were a bustling, one of the most prosperous republics, maybe the most prosperous country in all of Africa, was Uganda, with its coffee crop. But you see, people, when they're prosperous, and they can go home, and they've got all these options, and their television and their food, they cannot hear you. But when God turns loose destruction in their land, you have another situation. They have no television. They have no parents. They don't have any food. They have nothing. Where's the only hope? In God. And that is what the world is coming to. China today. They just finished a translation of the Bible. China, little by little, the doors are being opened. And listen, in America, it's God's intent for the United States of America to use every nickel, every bit of education, every national strength that it has to bring the gospel to the nations that are ready in this day in 1980. And we say, what can we do? It's too big. I can't feed everybody in India. I can't go over there and preach to the Ugandans at Friday night. There is a little Mexican girl named Rosa. I know she's newly saved. While she's sitting in front of me. And the lady next to her said, what are you talking about? What can Rosa do? Here she's got two children that can't leave her house. What can Rosa do? What can Rosa do? What can Rosa do? Listen, there was a boy with a loaf and two fish. What the little boy does, well, he fed 5,000 people. If he had looked at it and said 5,000 people are hungry, the kid probably would have run off somewhere and ate his loaf and his fish. What are you going to do? You know, all you can do, it's not enough for anybody. All you do is some will eat and the rest will be disappointed. You see? It isn't. Look, the widow put in her two mites, which elicited quite a comment from the Lord. Because he wasn't impressed if people come in and put in a talent of gold or something else. Because, you know, he said, that guy's got 17 talents home. It didn't cost him anything. But this widow was putting in her bread and butter. She was putting in what she had. And Jesus said, that is what counts. Now, we got to get our theology turned around. Because we're heaven-oriented. Look, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. Okay? That's finished. The kids, when they die, they're going to go to heaven if they don't go out of the house. We see this lady says, stay in the house. If you go out of the house, you've had it. And if your kids walk out from under the protection of the blood, they're on their own. And pray like mad. But that's what it says. The men said to Rahab, if they stay in your house, but if they go outside the door, they're on their own. So we parents can do what we will, and we can do like Rahab and plead for our brothers and sisters and mother and father and all this stuff and all the brothers and sisters and everybody that belongs to them and everything. That's what she claimed. And the men said, all right, but don't go out of the house. And so we do what we can to keep our kids in the house and everything. And if there's a drop in atom bomb in us and we all die, there's no problem. We go up to a land that is sure a better one than this one. That is already set. That is already set. We're not striving to go to heaven. The apostles didn't strive to go to heaven. We must with much tribulation enter into heaven. The problem is the kingdom of God. The problem is these people in China and the 770 million people in India who are not Christians. 30 million are, and the balance of the 800 million are not. The Bible is, there's still liberty to preach in India. And we told about how Brother Sorella was saying about Japan. Now, why is it? What has come over our nation? What is it that we're thinking when we don't give our lives to the gospel? What is going through our minds? I think it's bad theology. I think it's a theology that says, my purpose on earth is to be a decent person, to accept Jesus, get saved, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. And that's what has gone wrong. We don't have a kingdom concept. We don't realize that this earth is our inheritance, and the moment we are saved, from that moment, the Lord is training us how to live in life on this earth, preparing us so that as the minute the Lord comes, we'll be able to enter into that. But what we do now is a necessary exercise, because we're sure not going to sit and wait for the Lord to come and then do big things when He comes. That is wrong. It will not work that way. So all we do is just wait our turn to be judged. Probably at the end of the millennium, if I can understand the scriptures correctly. But you can gamble on that. All right, what is the practical point? The practical point is that today, on April 1st in 1980, we can see that these current rockings of the earth are opening up things which were not opened before. Afghanistan has an ancient Muslim culture. I guess they're still stoning women, caught in adultery in Afghanistan. It goes back. These cultures are very static. They're still stoning women caught in adultery. They're still cutting off your hand if you steal under this Muslim culture. But now what has happened? And I think it's of the law. That country has never allowed the Christian church to get a foothold in there because it's preponderantly Muslim. And they're antagonistic. What is God? God's using Russia to do what? To soften them up. You watch, the day will come when it will all work around in some wonderful way that somehow, whether Russia subjugates us and sends us there as slaves or whatever, however God does it, there's going to be some preachers end up in Afghanistan. God is going to open it. And I believe in God to save these Muslims. And the one that God needs to speak to today is Ayatollah Khomeini, and make a born-again believer out of that man. Well, that's the kind of talk to talk. That's God talk, not, you know, my gasoline and my convenience and I'm late for my hairdresser and all this. That's not God talk. That's not the Lord's talk. He told us to pray for our enemies. And he's a human being just like anybody else. He isn't a devil because he inconvenienced the American culture. That didn't make him a devil. That meant that he was getting in and interfering with us and our pleasures. That's all that it means. Nothing else. And so he needs to be saved. And the masters of the Kremlin need to be saved in that Orthodox church they meet in. God wants to hear them singing in the Spirit while they're making their decision. Listen, it's happened before. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was on his way to being the great high mucky muck, and he got all carried out of himself. So God just touched him, and he ate grass like an ox for 7 years. And when he come to, he got back up into his royal deportment. And he said, Secretary, take a letter. Anybody that speaks a word against the God of heaven, pull out his house and make it a dunghill and hang him on the rafters. God is the one who rules. I mean, he was the greatest preacher of his day. Now, he's done it before. And you say, what can I do? I'm holding on to jobs, and this is wrong, and the kids, and my wife, and oh, I can't do nothing. In fact, if I get to church, it's a miracle, and then all they do is yell at me, and I'm going to stay home and rest so I can cope with my two jobs. And listen, yes. God didn't come to the man with one talent and say, how come you don't have 10? All he wanted him to do was use what he had. He didn't ask him to use the ones he didn't have. He just said, will you use what you have? Now, you can exercise faith. You know what that is? You can say, Lord, I believe today for the entrance of the gospel into Afghanistan. Don't you think that that is potent in the kingdom of God? And the God, the great God of heaven is looking out up to him. There's coming faith that he will deliver people in Afghanistan. Now, you can do that while you're working on the car washing dishes. If you are oriented correctly to what God is doing, you can do it. And many of us in here, the young people, are choosing. Their life's calling. And we as parents need to be aware of many things. One thing, we can't put our calling on our kids. You either got it or you done don't. I'll tell you that about the calling of God. You either have it or you don't. And we can't put our calling on somebody else. We can fuss at it, chew at it, but you can't put your calling. I mean, if they're there and they're full of life and they're active in the kingdom of God, that's it. That's got to come from God. What we can do is, if they're under our responsibility, is keep them in the house, so to speak. That is, tell them what God expects of them, and if they're obedient, they'll do it. If they're not obedient, they'll just leave it, and they're on their own. They'll wake up some morning in bad trouble. But that's our part. But you can't put your call on. But we can be praying, and we can be making sure that we're giving them the right values, that we're not leaving them with the impression that if they get a good job and a lot of money, that that's where it is in this world. We can make sure that they are reading us loud and clear. That the only thing that matters in this world is the kingdom of God and the host of God moving toward the possession of this earth. The church is right at the edge. When Jesus comes, he's going to take those who are called and chosen and faithful, and he is going to set up his throne here. So we can give our kids that orientation. That the Christianity is not when you die, you go to heaven. It's what's going on now in your life. Are you growing? Are you gaining in faith? What are you doing for the Lord? What portion have you set aside for God? What is the meaning of your life as far as the kingdom of God when our nation is crumbling according to the top experts of the world? Are you on where God is going? Or are you going to get caught off guard like the rest of the blind Americans and wake up someday and then you'll see Satan turn on the church? There's a sense of lightness. There's a sense of lightness and of cockiness and of overconfidence that has come into the Pentecostal and, I guess, generally speaking, the fundamental churches in America. It's an overassurance, and I think Russia is using the same tactic with our people. That's a tactic, that's a strategy of war, is to give people a feeling that there's no danger. Sometimes it's good to scare people in a fight. Other times it's a good idea to give them they're doing swell. While in the meanwhile, you are just cutting off their water till you just walk in and say, you might as well quit now, because if you'll just look around you. That's a tactic. And I think that's what Russia is doing on the United States. Very carefully gauging our public opinion. I think they have people placed at every critical point in our media and our government. And I think they are very carefully gauging so as not to move too fast into Afghanistan. Yes, they got away with that. We took our trucks and went home from our sandbox. We won't play with you. They know that. How they must laugh. We won a soccer game. Dear Jesus, our national wisdom. They're after the oil, of course. They need it for their war machine. See? And they know they won't jump yet. It will not cause them to change their budget or anything. We can do that and get away with it. They're on a timetable. And they are encircling us. I don't care about that. One man with God, we see in the case of Elisha, is more powerful than an army. Just as long as you've got Elisha, that's the problem. But the thing that troubles me is not that, because the nations are a drop in the bucket. God has all the power in the world. What troubles me is Satan's using the same device with the church. He's giving the people a feeling of assurance. And we assume it's coming from the Lord, that we're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. Everything doesn't feel wonderful around here. Boy, this is great. It's not coming from God. It doesn't match the scripture that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The righteous scarcely are saved. No, in the terror of the Lord. It doesn't square with the Word. It doesn't square with the apostolic way of doing things. Therefore, I say it is a false spirit, and it is deluding us into an attitude toward God that is not right. It has made a lot of con men out of otherwise sound religious people who are out for what they can get. It's like a big game, a big sell. Ballyhoo. None of it is of God. None of it. And when Satan is finished with that tactic, he'll do just what Russia's going to do. He'll say to the church, oh, enough of that now, enough of your faith and your prosperity and everything. Just look around you. Now use your faith. Now use your faith. God's people will sue. He said, that's all right. You're not going to be hurt. Just don't get too excited. Don't preach too loud on the street corner. You'll be all right. I've got bigger fish to fry right now. I'll take care of you later. Oh, they bought me a year. They bought me 2 years of time. Good, I can watch the cartoons. That's where we are. That's where we are, just as long as the game doesn't stop. Huh? I know you can take it. I wouldn't be preaching it. God wouldn't have you be hearing it. The point, saints, is that it's true. It's where we are. It isn't like it was when I was a boy or you were a little girl. It's a different day. But we're not afraid, because it's a day that has been brought about by God, not by the devil. The devil always plays into God's hand. He always plays into God's hand. And if we are on God's side and we know what God is doing, when Satan does his little bit, God will step back and say to the sons of God, no.
Amen.
Now the people are ready to hear the word. They would never hear it during the times of prosperity, but some of them will hear it now. See? And the thing that Satan, just as it always happens to him, he'll draw back and say, what have I done? What he did was soften up the world and make it to where it has ears to hear. And God wants us ready so that we'll have the word. Praise the Lord! And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men in hither,
tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And I want you to know that God has people today, little by little, who are becoming aware. I thought my brother George there would tell you, this is what he told me. I said, "Do you ever hear this message before?" And at the school, and he said, "I never heard a person preach it, but I heard it from the Lord." And there's been different ones that have come up in the school of ministry. And they said, "The things that you're saying, God told me out in the backwoods somewhere." Praise the Lord. There's people, and Jim was telling us about the young people in Canada, they're getting hungry for God. God is moving. And he's getting spies, he's getting these two witnesses to search out the land. See, it isn't the whole church. The church is still fumbling around in the plains of Moab, wherever they are, trying to decide, you know, who's going to pitch his tent where, and who's the what, and all that human problems up and down. But there's two people that, symbolically, that God has called out for one purpose, and that is, look out for this land where I'm going to bring Israel and get back there and tell them what it's going to be like, because they've never been here. And you can be in that number today if you want to. Don't expect the rest of the church to understand you. It has to be by the calling of God. And if it's your part, it's your part. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Now the devil knows it. And the woman took the two men and hid them. This is where the world will take care of God's witnesses in the end time. And said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass, about the time of the shutting of the gate, brother, sister, it will not be long. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now it is." The hour is coming. He said, "Work, for the night is coming when no man can work." And we are close to that time. We're close to the shutting of the gate. The scriptural types all the way through the Bible show that the Lord will come to His church at the darkest hour of earth's history. Praise the Lord. When it was dark, that the men went out. In other words, we see this darkness settling down. A million people marked. All they did in Washington, and I don't down them, thank God for people to take time out of their schedule to go to Washington. You know what they ended up doing? Wringing their hands. That's all they did, was fret themselves. And one talked about 10 million homosexuals. Another one talked about how we're outnumbered 5-1 in warplanes, 4-1 in tanks, and we have 250,000 men in reserves. Russia has 5 million men in reserves, and so on. That he gave a statistic. Another one told about the problems with the saints. Another one told. See? They fretted. But they had originally intended. They had originally intended to dispatch people to every member of Congress and express to them the Christian viewpoint. That was their original intention, was to move something in government. See? And this is what the government said to them in return. You can come and talk and bear witness and carry your signs all you want to. The moment you go in and interfere with the political process, we will investigate the tax-exempt status of your church. In America, do you see? In other words, Satan is not concerned about all our religious talk, our carrying signs. He's concerned about the control of the country. See? You can do what you want to. You won't have me in your hair until you actually decide to do something. And then I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. See? Satan knew that they had come. And she, we all know the story of how she protected them and all. But closing in verse 9, I just want this to get into our hearts this morning. I know, and this is what Rahab said, I wish Israel had known this. But she knew it. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now, when we begin to go into these places. Like we say, oh boy, you know, if I go there, I'm going to get beat up, or I'm going to get killed, or this is going to happen, or we're going to investigate your tax exempt status, or whatever, or this dire thing is going to happen. We will be threatened. We're going to be threatened. And I'm not saying go out, you know, political action. I'm not talking about that. Our political action is in the spirit with the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't go out and take a strong man's house till you bind the strong man. So our ways are by prayer and fasting and obedience, the Word of God, and seeking the Lord. And the moment that you begin to go out and I begin to go out to actually move, not just give our religious testimony, but actually begin to move and make a difference in the nations of the world and the people in the world, Satan's going to throw up a great hue and cry. Whoa, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I just want you to keep one thing in mind. Hell is scared to death. Hell is frightened today. They know that their time on earth is almost over. Do not be afraid. The terror of the Spirit of God, if God sends you or me into Egypt or Chile or wherever He sends us, just sit quietly and wait in customs or wherever you're waiting. Don't be alarmed, because if God has sent you, He has already gone ahead of you, and the fear of God is on the demon world. Just remember that. When in Vietnam, the demons would talk with the people, but when the missionaries came, they said, the Jesus people are coming, we cannot talk to you anymore. And when Jesus moved around, remember, the demons are afraid of torment. Have you come to torment us before the time? So it's not a case of our, you know, God's people get all superstitious. Oh, there's demons in that house. Ooh, somebody put a spell on me. All this nonsense. That's just the devil hoping you will believe. Oh, this is awful. This person is possessed. Well, most of us probably have been at some time or other in our life too. The truth be known. That's right. So let's not be superstitious. Let's remember that the terror of the Holy Spirit has already come upon hell. And they know. They're just hoping to run a bluff at the last minute that we won't find out. We'll flee off somewhere and play shuffleboard in heaven. They're not concerned about that. They're concerned about China and Uganda. They want those people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There may be some here this morning that God, you're on the edge and you're being torn by the desires of your flesh and your ambitions. And on the other hand, you know that the whole thing is a lie and that the kingdom of God is coming and you will answer for your behavior. And this other is just a devil's lie to keep us weak and helpless until he uses another tactic. And you would like to change that point of view and really become an active person in the kingdom of God, forgetting about this world, forgetting about your erstwhile ambitions to be somebody, but you're more interested now in taking up your cross and following Christ and seeing what He's going to do in these days. You're here this morning. Every head is bowed and every eye closed. Slip up your hand. Let's see if there's anything like that. Yeah, there are some. Well, there are others here this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray a closing prayer for you this morning. Are there any others? Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Are there any others? Saints, you just have to take a step. I see that hand. Are there any others? Are there any others? Dear God, pull us out of our American delusion. Are there any others? Jesus. Jesus. Yes, I see that hand. Are there any others? Praise the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Praise the Lord. All right, all right. Now agree with me. I'm going to pray now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see. You see. Hallelujah. These hands. Praise God. You know their heart. And I pray this morning, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will give to those who raise their hand, Lord, a special wisdom from this point forward to know what their loaf and their fish are. That they will know what little way or great way they can begin today to take a step away from our tradition of eat, drink, and be merry and entertain me. Jesus! And that, Father, in thy goodness and thy grace, while there is yet time, they will demonstrate their worthiness to Christ by taking a step forward away from the world and toward a life of victorious living in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, where their goal is not anything in this world, but to find out what the commander-in-chief is saying and to do their job there in the strictest discipline. Hallelujah, in the Lord's army. Jesus, grant that now as an investment, a divestiture from heaven of your grace. And I thank you for the answer in Jesus' name, for each one who raised his hand. And Lord, we pray also this morning, and I know you're here and I can feel your presence in a very, very marked way. Jesus, I know my words are being weighed. And Lord, I pray now for these nations, the third world nations and the others, that are awakening, that our stuff that we're feeding into them, Lord, will be cut off somehow. You will cut off the pollution, the lights, the business as usual, the calm that is flowing forth from our weakness and our lassitude and our lukewarmness, and they will be saved from it. Hallelujah! And any damage that's been done thus far by our lightness and our overconfidence will be swept from the churches in the third world countries, and they will return to the primitive and original gospel, and they will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will go forth into all the world, and they will preach the gospel with signs and mighty wonders. Hallelujah. And grant that in that doing of it, Lord, they will not make the mistakes that we have made of using the Lord's goods for our own comfort, instead of for to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, Jesus, for those of us that are in America, I know it's a remnant, Lord. I know it's not large, and I know the rest will not hear. But I pray in thy mercy you will do something even this day that will cause the multitudes to hear somehow come across over the TV. I still, Lord, have not heard one person say that God had helped, but it's I had the luck to survive, or we did this, or they did that, but not God. It's not coming through, Lord. And I'm believing to hear people being interviewed in the newest disaster saying, I call unto God, and he helped me. So strong, Lord. Hallelujah! Let's stand and pray to God. Hallelujah, that he might have mercy on us in the month of June. Hallelujah, that somehow God would break through this thing of money and interest and games and goods and speak to our nation in a language that people can hear. Hallelujah, Lord, get through these networks and this TV that is stopping the covering of what God is doing, and the shame and the bondage that has gripped American people in their delusion. Because Celia of Ohio, pray with these saints, and God will turn this thing. God will touch our nation and speak, hallelujah, in terms that the American people can understand. God, shake it until even the news commentators have to fall on their knees in the fear of God and pray in the sight of their colleagues that Almighty God will have mercy on our nation. Hallelujah. up before God, that God will bring him to repentance. Hallelujah, that he will tell his millions of listeners that God is in heaven. Hallelujah. Shake this thing, my God, in Jesus' name. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Hallelujah. 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 That we may behold the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That our president will not have to go to another country and talk about his own nation when they aren't even aware that he even feels this way. Hallelujah, Lord, you know two nominally Christian men, nominally at least, are running for high office. My God. My God, you intervene in this process, Lord. You know the future. Oh, stop these ungodly things that are going on in our Congress, Lord, and strengthen those who are seeking your face. Hallelujah. That they may not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but may stand up for what they believe. Hallelujah. Never mind the opinions of people. Dear Jesus, have mercy on us and save us in this one. And do something that this nation will never forget, my God, in Jesus' name. It will cause the people in this land to tremble in the fear of Almighty God. We ask it, Father, not in anger, but in the greatest concern. In the greatest concern that the American people will be turned unto God and will stop polluting the world with their values. Dear God, we're helpless before thee. We confess the sin of our land. We humble ourselves, Lord. We pray. We seek your face. And we ask you, God, not for comfort. We don't ask for comfort for us or our children. We'd be better off hungry, I think, Lord. We'd be better off if we weren't so comfortable. Whatever it is we need, do it, Lord. And those of us in this church and many other churches in our land fall to their knees in thanksgiving for saved loved ones. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That scarlet thread. That scarlet thread. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior? Never have said yes to God? Would you come forth and stand before this pulpit? If there is anyone here, you have never. God wants to save you this morning. There's a scarlet cord that you can hold on to. And God will save you in the day that's coming. Is there someone like that here this morning who's never received Christ? Step forward this morning. We don't have much time. The Christians will scarcely make it. And you will have no chance. But God will help you. And if you'll come forward this morning, there is that scarlet cord. And if you get it in the house where you are, God will spare you. And the day when Jericho falls. Anyone like that here this morning? Praise God. Is there anyone here this morning that maybe has been a Christian at one time, but you're backslidden and you know it? You need to get back to God this morning. Would you step forward in this aisle and come forward before we have our communion? You can take communion this morning and touch Jesus anew and afresh before God has to do it the hard way and bring you to repentance. Would you like to come this morning? Have us pray with you. You're here this morning and you're away from God and you know it. You're not living as you should. Would you come forward to this pulpit and we'll pray with you. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Such an hour, Jesus. Such an hour. Amen. Let's be seated in an attitude of prayer and I'll ask the ushers then to prepare the communion, Hank to get the children. Let's keep our minds on God. I'm going to be praying this morning in the communion that this will be unto us as unto Rahab as the scarlet cord. Rahab. Go ahead, ushers, and everything. I'll finish up here. Rahab said that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have. Deliver our lives from death. I know many of us this morning are burdened about our unsaved loved ones, families. Let's make this time of communion this morning a time when we remember them, at least call them up in our minds, maybe voice their names quietly before the Lord. Believe that this blood that is protecting us, this bloodline, will extend for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just remember our loved ones, Lord. So many are living in hell. They're living in booze. They're living in adultery. They're living in fornication. They're living in the world with no knowledge of God. Jesus, help us this morning somehow that they will be brought into the house, Lord, where the bloodline is. Into the house where the bloodline is. That they will be saved alive when you come into Jericho. Hallelujah. With your troops. Praise your name, Jesus. Remember our families, Lord. We remember our families. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the blood do its work, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Ask the ushers to come forward if they will now and prepare the communion. Praise. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray for our loved ones this morning, saints. Believe God. His mercy. He will spare them too. It's a lamb for a house, unless they'll just have no part of it and just walk away. And God will dry all tears. But if we serve God, may do like he did with Abraham. It's too bad. I don't know if Abraham prayed for Lot's wife. I don't know if he did. Thank you.
Oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the blood covering be upon us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Doug, would you stand and pray whatever's on your heart just while communion's being served? Just pray unto the Lord. Praise the
Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence and message. And I pray, Lord, that you would have his ears, Lord. We wouldn't only hear a message that we'd like to hear, Lord, now. Not only would we not be comfortable in a place where another message is preached for our lives, but you would respond, Lord. But you would cause us to really do what you asked us to do, Lord. That you would make us spiritually sensitive, Lord. You would be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Lord. We no longer be trapped in the deception of this world, Lord.
Lift it from us.
Oh Lord,
lift it
in the power of your kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Give us strength, Lord, that we might come forth into all the glory that you prepare us for. Thank you for that.
Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Barakahasili Arabahaya Rabakahasili. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Our pastor brother from Nairobi, Nigeria, would you stand, please, brother, and pray. Just pray whatever's on your heart for us. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, O God.
For the opportunity
thou hast afforded us to gather here.
Yes, Lord.
We have predestinated that your children should come together. And I thank you for making me to be one of them here today. We praise your name, O God, for the gospel which you have heard today. That thou, O God, hast prepared to save thy people in this end time.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we glorify thee.
Thank you, Lord, for this holy
communion. Oh my God, I thank you for the precious blood that was shed on Calvary.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because there are many here who have come with their problems, and thou art going to solve them all.
Yes, Lord.
Thou art going to heal all manner of sickness.
Yes.
And thou art going to baptize and fill us with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, my God, for you to be with us through the end of this service. Thank you for the preacher, oh God. Continue to give him more words that he may teach the nation. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Shall we hold the bread? Lord, we do remember this day who we are, what we are, that we are your servants. Praise your name. We are here, Lord, to do your will. We pray, Lord, that this will be unto us a covenant
to obey you, to be your people, Lord, in the days to come, that this will be our security, Lord, to be in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shall we partake together? Dear God, Jesus, Jesus, after the same manner also he took the cup, shall we hold the cup? When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Jesus, we remember the bloodline. We remember the scarlet cord, Lord, and we know that whoever is in the house, Lord, where this blood is protecting, will not be destroyed. Lord, we pray that we, as in this church, as priests of the Lord, representing many, many people, some who barely know you, Lord, that in your mercy, that we may be faithful, that they may be saved. They may be saved in the coming day of judgment. Help us to stand this day, Lord, and to be about our business. And let this be strength unto us in a covenant with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we stand? Now let's join hands across the row. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's lift our hands up to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we live because he lives. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Abarakahasilia! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Iliyalamahayalamakahandalamahashiliyalamahayalamakahasilia! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Praise your name! Praise your name! Praise your name! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness to us this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are the one, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask our brother Harvey Borman, if you will, to dismiss us in prayer. Praise your name.
Lord, we take you with us where we go.
Today. Yes, in Jesus' name.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, keep your hand upon everyone. In your house, Lord, their own home,
oh yes, Lord.
So they can rejoice in you again, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus, all
his saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless everyone. Men's council back.